last week we were snowed out. So now we're continuing from where we left off the week before that. We were going through 60 surim over here we have listed on the sheet. This time I filled in at least my answers to the questions. Of course, based on Rambam, my understanding of Rambam at least. The first two we discussed, and the last four we still have to address today, Be'ez Hashem. We have a lot to do, so let's try it, Be'ez Hashem. The first two, Gneva and Gzela, Gzela and Gneva, to define the difference between them, the Rambam seems to emphasize, which we have at the bottom over here on the first page, the Lashon of the Rambam, is that Gneva is done, B'sei Ser, Be'ena Balam Yodim, stealthily, secretly, and that itself is the means through which the theft is accomplished by sneaking and pickpocketing without other people knowing it to stop him. In other words, not having to use force to overcome and take it against a person's will and knowledge, but do it behind their back when they don't know about it. Rams Lashon Gemba Hilchos Gneivos Ezo Ganav Ze Alokeach Baman Adam. Now, when he says the phrase of Beseser Ve'ena Balam Yodim, there seems to be two criterion over there. And the emphasis seems to be more on the Seser than Ve'ena Balam Yodim. Because he goes on and says, examples could go on a Poshe Yodai, Lutov Kisel Shechaveri, the classic pickpocket, Vodotomo, so Ve'ena Balam Rayim. So there it's done secretly. Stealthily, a theft that they're not aware of at that point. So why aren't they stopping him? Because they don't know about it. The Gazel, on the other hand, was done in the open. So how are you doing it if you're doing it open? He's doing it because of Yod. You're doing it by force, by a show of force, by overwhelming force against another person. Because of Yod, that's how the Gazel is able to accomplish it. When a person sneaks in and steals, but he's an armed robber, he's an armed thief, and he has the weapon with him to back up in case he'll resist, then he would threaten to use that. Eino gazel el ganav, because his method, his means of stealing, is not by coming, holding up to a gun to someone's head and your money or your life, but it's trying to doing it stealthily. Ava bisha balam yodim b'shashaganav. So here the Rambam pulls back and says that the balam knowing or not knowing is not really the defining factor. That which he said in the first line, b'seizer v'ena balam yodim, now he's telling us that ena balam yodim is only the common way that you're able to steal. If you don't have any strength, then how you're able to get away with it is because you do it so quickly they don't know about it, or in the middle of the night and you're burglarized and they don't know about it. But the critical element seems to be Beseser, and therefore by case of Elizabeth Muslim, even though they do know about it, since they're going to wisely look the other way and pretend they don't know about it, then he's still doing it with Derek Geneva, and therefore it's Geneva. Gazela, on the other hand, the Rambam emphasizes Ezra Gazlan.
Well, but why is Elizabeth Muslim
Beseser? Elizabeth Muslim is not an armed robber. Lizmazuyim is an armed thief. He comes and climbs in the back window in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning and burglarizes the house with a gun in one hand and a flashlight in the other hand. Right. So the gun in the other one hand is, right, if someone confronts me, I'm going to use it. And it's also, in case someone starts creeping down the stairs and looking, he'll be smart to go climb back and get into bed and go back upstairs. Right. So they might know about it, but they're wise to look the other way. That's a list of mazuyim. That's not an open gazel. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila says Ezul gazel zeh lokeach mamach adam bechazaka. There he confronts the person head on, puts a weapon to him, whatever the force it is. Go nechotav matal miyado, either because he's physically stronger, he's a big bully, and he just takes the candy out of the baby's hands. Oshen nichtos b'shul shlo b'baylam, but not dokeil misham, or he comes in over there brazenly and robs in front of the owner's eyes. Or you talk about Vadova Behem to Bishtamish Behem, that he overcomes and forces and takes control of his slaves or animals and of the of his friend. So on top of this first page, my proposal is to write that Gzeila is Lekichas Mamon Chaveiro Begalui Bechazaka, while Gneiva is Lekichas Mamon Chaveiro Beseser Shelo Bechazaka. That Galui Beseser seems to be the main dividing point. And it goes together with that. If you're doing your begali, then the way you accomplish it is bechazaka. If you're doing your beseser, the way you accomplish it is not bechazaka, but because of the stealthfulness of it. Well, the question was discussed last time about if you're using a scam and deceiving people, and thereby out here in the open, everyone here, please give me your money. And I promise you whatever, the Brooklyn Bridge or the world or $1 billion profit. And whatever kind of deceit you use, is that gzeila or is that ganeva? When the end, everything falls apart, then people realize the whole thing was baloney. So now, have I done it beseis? Have I done gzeila or ganeva? Will it be chayav kefal in this kind of a case? So if the deciding factor is gully seiser, he did it begully. If the deciding factor is chazaka, he didn't force anyone. He offered them. He told them all kinds of false promises, but there was no force being used. No one was compelled. No one's coerced. It's your choice to invest because I promised you something that's too good to be true. But the truth is, I think that is beseser, because pulling the wool over people's eyes means that they don't see, and the pulling the wool over their eyes does only physically blindfolding them and making beseser. But this way you don't realize that what's happening over, you think it's an investment and you're going to get your money back, and really, behind everyone's back, I'm stealing you blind. So that's really still beseser, because the gneva of it is beseser. No one knows what's happening. Eventually they'll know, right? But while I'm doing it, while I'm taking everyone's money, right, and stealing from them, they don't realize what's happening. They're thinking one thing and really something else is happening. Just like a pickpocket. I say, hi, how you doing? I have a little conversation with him. In the meantime, I just emptied his pocket and I'm on my way. So he doesn't realize what's happening. That still is a seiser. In other words, the method, the mode of Gneva is not being done by a show of force and overpowering. That's what Gzeila is. Rather, by stealthily either not being seen there at all or not being realized that I'm stealing him, or here, give me your money, but not realizing that I'm tricking them completely. If case, just think, if this is the case, then every mechatos, if it would be done purposely, let's tell you the Brooklyn Bridge, right? Or to promise you that something is a false representation about an item that's really not what it is, misrepresent it, and then you come back and say this is full of all kinds of defects and it's not the product you promised me, it's a different thing completely. Right? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, and I disappear. So any kind of person that's weiter, that's going to be deceit, and that'll be over lo signaiv, not on lo sigzol. Because again, I didn't force you to give it to me. I didn't say, give me your money or else. I tricked you into giving it to you, and you thought you're buying something. Later on, you realize there's no mechel over here. All this is not what you bargained for. It's a lemon. And the taking of your money, therefore, was done deceitfully, is the same thing as secretly. Yes?
Is there any naf community nowadays between naming Zayla and Abedin?
The main naf community is Kefil. And many Rishayin have behold. And the Ramo apostles like this is Shulchan Aruch. Although what the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Machar behold like this, is a question in Mefarshim. But the Ramo apostles and the Torah apostles, like the Rishayin that say that you could be teifes kefil, afilu b'zman hazeh, because really he owes you the money. And therefore, although Bezin can't enforce it, we don't have a Bezin of smuchim, but since you really, he owes you the money, if you have an opportunity to get something of his, and you take it, you could say, you owe me up to twice the amount, so I'm going to keep it. By Gaza, you couldn't do that. By Ganav, you could do that. Okay, let's move along. These are the things we discussed last time. And that's my best suggestion how to write these two. Not saying it can't be improved upon. Oshek, there's another law in the Torah, counted in the Targum Mitzvahs, of Lo Sashek. What does Oshek mean? So turn the page to Amud Beis. Second paragraph on the second side of the page. Rambam went back in Hilchis Zela, Perak Aleph, Halacha Dalet. These are the words of the Rambam. Ezehu Oshek. They gave us something willingly. But when they say, okay, please give it back, you held on to it. You kept it by yourself with force, with strength. Zero, refusing to return it to them. Like a person owes someone else either money that he borrowed, which was money that he received willingly from the lender, or bikadain, an item to safeguard where the mafka gave it to the shamer willingly, baratzai, oschirus, that the other person did work for him and earned a certain amount of pay, which he therefore wants you to pay him, and he wanted you to accumulate that debt to owe him by the end of the week, his week's salary, let's say. And then when he says, v'hutavo, nu, please give me back my bikadain, pay back the halva, give me my sneeris. But I say, no, I'm not giving it to you. What are you going to do about it? And the person is in a stronger position, whatever it is, that he's wealthy, he's influential, he's powerful, whatever kind of situation he's in. And the other person, walks away with his tail between his legs and there's nothing he could do about it. So then that's a kind of a gzela, by force, but it's not a gzela of taking something from him, because what he gave me willingly. He lent me the money or gave me the bikadin, or the work that he did for me. What it is now, it's holding on to be oshek his rights for payment, his rights for collection, to take something and get something back from me, that I'm taking away his rights, rather than actually taking away a physical, tangible item of his mamain. And therefore, that's categorized not under gneva gzela, where you're actually taking away a physical item that belongs to a person, but here you deny him his rights. That is the iser of oshek. So anytime a person doesn't pay back a chayv, he's over on lo sashek. And the Gemara says that a person doesn't pay a pulo sacher, he could be over on five lavin of lo solon, and lo sabal of shemesh, and lo sigzol, and lo sashek, and biyomotid and scharam misses asay. Right, he could over all those lavin. It's not a real low sigzel in that classic sense of gzela. It really goes into this lab of oshek.
Where's the chazaka part?
The oshek has to somehow be in a stronger position than the nashak. Otherwise, he could say, "I'm taking it back." It must be that you're even above the law somehow, that either bezdin or the court won't be able to get it back from you. Because, I have political collections, or
because you don't have it, for example.
So let's say you gave a pekudah to a shamer.
And the shamer doesn't have it anymore because he invested
it. No, that's a hava. But pekudah, he has it. Later. No, the pekudah says, I'm not giving it back to you. Now he can say, I'm not giving it back to you because I don't want to. I'm keeping it.
Right. That's the oshek. What about let's say he says, I don't have it, or
Where's the case I don't have it?
Bikadu's
not invested.
In schiris?
What? Schiris is the work that you did for me, and I owe you the money. Now, I'm not saying.
Is that when someone gives you money to
invest? No. It's bikadu until you invest it, and then you're managing it for him. A palga milva is the way you do a heter iska, or you do a real iska. Right, the amount that you lend to me is I'm going to profit from it. The amount just of bikkurim is your money I'm going to manage.
Right.
So I'll take your money and I'll invest it for you.
I can give back. You want your money back.
A classic bikkurim is when I'm a shamer on a chayvet. I'm supposed to keep it and take care of it. But you're if that kind of case, fine. If I'm supposed to manage your money and invest it and take care of it and be your stockbroker or something for you, your investment portfolio manager. You're right, that would be a big cutter as well. Right, all these kinds of things. Now, if I tell you, I'm really sorry, I know I owe you the money, but right now I'm broke, I don't have any money.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not a little sashik. Right. That's not holding you. If I'm lying, right, and I have plenty of money to pay you back, and that's just my way of blocking your access to get your money, what were those sashek? Right? If I say, I won't pay you now, I'll pay you next week. And you say, no, it's time to pay me now. I say, I'm not going to. Come back next week. I come back next week. I said, oh, well, come back next week. I dray you a cup for a month or two, and then I pay you. So the Shulchan brings on that, a pasuk of Mishlei, the summer the chavercha lech v'shov v'yesh that's like that. But you can tell him drain him a cup. You come back later. Come back later. It's episay and an issur b'divrei Kabbalah b'divrei divrei sofra, right? But in the end, I'm not refusing to give it. This guy is refusing. I'm not going to give it back to you. One of the ways to refuse to give it back to you is to deny it. What? Well, you let me some money? I don't know what you're talking about. Never saw you in my life.
No. Not like that. He said, I think I'm entitled to it. Because you, the skewers, whatever. You
guys okay, so I make up a story that you didn't do your job, right? I'm not going to pay you. Right?
So, well, let's say, not for makeup. Let's say for real, I believe that.
Okay, that's not a low sashik. That's a dispute whether you deserve it. The sashik is when there's an undeniable fact that I owe you the money, but I'm going to refuse to give it to you. Now, the way I can refuse to give you is say that I'm a strong guy and you're not getting it after me. What do you want to try to do? You want to duke it out? I have the more connection than you. You can't do it. That's one way of doing it. That's simple reading of the Rambam Chazaka. It could also be the way I'm going to deny you access to it is by denying it ever happening. A loan? What loan? What are you talking about? I just deny it ever happening. Or say, I already paid you back. Right? Which is not true. Then I'm being I shake you, right?
And if the basin can't get it from him,
so then you're over los ashek. You know, a milva al peh, and he denies it, and there's edim, and he says priti, and it's a lie. So then there's nothing we can do about that. We don't have edim that he didn't pay. You'd have to have edim shlo yizoz yodom v'tech yodai. You know, how are you going to prove that guy didn't pay? Only a Kenegra star, you could say if a star could be out of my boy, I would give back the star. But we will pay you, then we'll say priority. So if you know I didn't pay, and I know I didn't pay, and I say I did, I paid, right, therefore there, you go home empty. So Bezin can't do anything to me, the court can't do anything, police can't do anything to me. I say, I paid the guy already. Well, I'll make up a story, we were standing over here, I gave you cash, I'll even tell you what you did with it, I'll make whatever story I want to do. Right. If I could keep a straight face and I could keep on answering the questions that you give me, then there's nothing you could do about it. That's b'chazaka. That's one ofan of b'chazaka. Okay. So therefore, my answer to question number 3 is what is los ashek? Is kvisha b'chazaka withholding with some form of chazaka? The Rambam used that term, so all the above goes under what chazaka is. But mama rechem shabam medchila yada b'retzainim. When they give you something willingly. The same thing would also be, by the way, about a Shemer Aveda. If I find an object and I pick it up to return it to the Bailam. So I'm not over the Sukha Lo Salim. I'm not over a Hoshiv Toshivim. I'm right now taking it to another Lo Sikzo. I'm not taking it for myself. So now I'm a Shemer Aveda, just like any other Shemer. Now when he comes and wants to come to me and get it back, even though he gives me the simanim that to justify that I should return it to him, I, for some reason, refuse to give it back to him.
So who it was?
What?
So who it was? Wanted to
Yeah.
So you weren't.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm not going to. I don't want to give it back to him. So again, I could be over low sashuk in that. If I took it metchila to keep it for myself, I'm over low sigzal. That's Gemara Neil Messias. But if afterwards I take and keep it for myself, I'm not getting any other shamer that's refusing to return it.
When the Gemara says priest Balchayv is a mitzvah, is that shamer? Is that, if you're not Purim, it's a nisr, it's a losasha.
That's a very good question. The Gemara says in Ksuvas da Peivav that priest Balchayv mitzvah, and therefore if a person doesn't want to pay him, we could be kavanos Hashem rotzani, just like a person says if he doesn't want to take a lulav, he doesn't want to sit in a sukkah, he doesn't want to put on tefillin. So din is a mitzvah. Say we could be a kaifa person until he does the mitzvah. Achidates an avshay. So Rashi over there says the mitzvah is because it says heinzuch hotzedek. We learned this a long time ago, back in Bamzira Pemtes, Rashi says over there in Ksuvas Tavivav, that it's a Heinshachot Tzedek, you made a commitment, you made a promise that you're going to pay me back at whatever terms of the loan, and now we could be kay for you to do that. So the question you're asking is, even if there's not a new Priyas Balchov Mitzvah, but to withhold the loan, then there would be a lav alo sashik. So when a person wants to be over on a lav, he wants to eat chazer. He wants to wear shatnas. He wants to be do a malach on Shabbos. So vada bezin could be also kovunoso, ajatezanavsho, not to be over that avera. So what do we have to come under Priyas Balchov Mitzvah to be kay for him, which Rashi has to come with a pasuk of Hinshach Kol Tzedek, and some Rishonim bring it for the pasuk of Losavo Beis Lavon Avota Ha'isha Shara Ashadoshibo Yotzilecha Avon Achutza. They have to look for pasukim to find where Priyas Balchov Mitzvah comes from. Why don't we just say you're over on Los Ashik? Likewise, there's a Gemara in Erechin, Daf Chav something, that Tosa brings over there in Ksuvah Daf Pevav and other places that. That the Gemara says by if you lent money to someone and he died, and now the estate is in the hands of his Yorshim who are Ketanim. So Ketanim are La B'nei Mevin Mitzaninhu. You can't, they're not obligated to do mitzvahs, they're not bar mitzvah yet. And therefore you can't force them to do a mitzvah, they're not Mechuyim mitzvahs yet. And therefore, you can't go down to collect from their estate, because collecting from their estate is a form of forcing them through the mitzvah to pay what they owe. Well, they don't have a mitzvah because they're ketanim. So Gemara speaks in terms of the mitzvah of Priyos Balchov. Why don't we say that they're doing overlap of Los Ashik? That's a question that Barnes asking.
How did they know?
If you have all the documentation, you know, there's no question that there is a debt. Bilvul Bapishtar. Right, so if we know there is a chayv, or the ba was the mitzvah to before he died, or whatever the various cases that you collect with, they'd be gedolim, but you can't collect with their ketanim.
In those cases, the issue is sort of paying on time.
There we go. That's the answer, right? Los Ashik, you're only going to be refusing to pay it at all in principle. I'm not giving it to you. What are you going to do about it? Go jump a lake. But if I say I'm not going to pay you now, I'll pay you, you know, some later time. So although that's a that won't be over Los Ashik on that, as long as you end up paying. But Priyas Balchov is that you made a commitment, you have to do what you said. You said you're going to pay me in 30 days. Well, it's 30 days already. It's 40 days. It's 50 days. So now I could be kind for you to a kind of the mitzvah say, and that's why we shouldn't have to come up with a source for that mitzvah, that to pay on time. But Los Ashik would only be if you're in principle absolutely refusing to pay at all. Very good. Number four on our list is the one that doesn't really fit into the rest of the list so well. Because the other six items that I have on the front page are each one of them lava mitzvahs in the Torah. Number four out of six, there's no lava in the Torah, lo sachmas. Chamas is not a specific lava in the Torah. But it is a category of that which the Torah says is chamas. Mal Arts Chamas is all the way back by the Mabul. Mishpatim, last week's parsha, it says, Atashish Yaduch Imrash Elios Eid Chamas. There's two categories of people that are possible for Eidus, even if they're not relatives, but because they're Rishayim. One is Atashish Yaduch Imrash. Rasha is defined as a person that's over knowingly, purposely alive in the Torah that's Chayav Malkus. As it says by the Parsha Malkus, Ibn Bin Hakos HaRasha, Yipilo HaShayfit Lefanav Yiko or Boyim, right? Ibn Bin Hakos HaRasha, HaRasha is a term the Torah uses for a person that's Mechuyah Malkus. Now we hear the Pasuk says, Atash Yadcha Im Rasha, so a person eats Nevelis, so then purposely, knowingly, he goes to, I don't know, McDonald's and gets the lunch there, then he is possible for Eidus because he's a Rasha. There's another category, the end of the puzzle says, Leo's Eid Chamas. And Eid Chamas is not necessarily someone that's over alive in the Torah. That's Chayav Malkus on. Especially a lot of these lavim that we're learning about right now, there's no Chayav Malkus because there's Chayav Tashlumim. There's a Mitzvah Heshev Zagzela or the Nitin L'Tashlumim, you can pay it back. But Leo's Eid Chamas. And Eid Chamas is Apostle Eid because he's a person that's Chaymes. Chaymes means a person that takes other people's things wrongfully. and he's willing to do that, which is, let's say, call it stealing, in order to be able to gain money. So maybe he's also willing to testify falsely in order to gain money. So he could be hired to testify what you wish. So something like that is possible for Eidus because he's a Chamsa. So there's a category called Chamsa. I brought over here on the second page, on the flip side, the third paragraph. It's nothing to do with our sugya per se, except that the Rambam over there puts these three things into focus and says that if a person mekadesh an isha with gezel or with geneva or with chamas, so then when she's mekadesh and when she's not mekadesh. But three categories called gezel, geneva, and chamas, which therefore begs definition, what is this third item called? Called chamas. So the Rambam in Hilchos Eidus that are brought afterwards talks about this pasuk I just quoted about Al Toshu Yarchim Rosh Liyoseid Chamas, and says Chamsonim are pasul Eidus. At the end of that paragraph in Hilchos Eidus, end of Halacha Perigud Halacha Dalid, Ketzer Chamsonim Behem Halochim Karko Mataltel and Shlo Brotzan Abaylim. If you take away something, possessions, properties that belong to another person, shalobrot zorbaim, without the other person willingly giving or selling it to you, avbish nosen hadama, even though you pay them their fair market value, harei lepsula midivrehem, they become pasul eidus. Now we'll just speak about in a moment why it's pasul midivrehem. But the category over here of chamsanim is people that take property belonging to someone else, shelo brought some bialim without the other bialim's consent, and there knows him to adamim. So that's what we call a chamsan. A chamsan is not like a ganav or a gazlan, that a seisor, a goli, a chazaka, or shelo b'chazaka takes something and runs for it with it, and doesn't pay you, so he's stealing not only the item, but also its value. The chamsan takes the item, he wants this item, and he's not taking no for an answer, but he doesn't want to steal the value of it. He has money in his pocket, he's willing to pay you for it. But whether you like it or not, he's taking it. And what's the fair market value for it? He'll pay it, put it on the table over here. I don't mind paying you, but I want your car. So here's $10,000, whatever the car is worth. I'm taking your car, whether you like it or not. Right? So some way he's able to overcome you, because he has chazakah, he has a threat, a weapon, or whatever it is over you. And he takes it now, Shlo brought some bialim with nosen damim. So then, he's a step above the ganav or the gazlan, who doesn't pay, and therefore is stealing both the item and its value. Here he's paying for its value, but he's stealing the item. Then he's over on, he's categorized as chamas. And that's what the Rambam means in Hilchos Ishus, with something that he robbed or stole or chamsed, if there's a verb for that. He took b'derek chamas, which is that he paid for it. But now the item he took without the other person's consent, so that constitutes chamas. Now, the halacha deals with this. What happens, talk, when a person forces a sale and pays good money for it? In other words, if he doesn't pay the proper value for something worth 100, only pays 50, it simply doesn't pay at all. I'm not paying you for what I'm taking. So we paid you for half of it or paid you for three quarters of it, I still didn't pay you for it. When we talk about pay, it has to be paid a fair market value. Maybe you could have marketed and get a better price, I don't know, but I paid you for what it's worth. Make a fair assessment about this shtena is worth, I don't know, $20? Here's $20, I'm taking the item. Whatever a fair assessment would be. So we're not trying to underpay him over here and cheat him. We're paying him, the fair market value, but still it's going to be chamas. Now, in Hilchos Mechira, without talking about whether a person doing it in Aveira or not, Rambam there gives his definition, which comes from a sugya in the Ches Abatim Bobas or Tafim Ches, that it depends on two factors when you force a sale. One factor is that you pay him the proper money, as we mentioned, and second thing is that he says Rotzani. So din is that, Mark always uses the term Talyue Vezovin. Talyue literally means you hung a guy up, you have him suspended upstairs somewhere, and say, I'm not letting you down until you sell me this thing. And so that's the onus, some kind of force, some kind of coercion that you're using on him. It doesn't have to be so dramatic and physical. There's other ways of coercing a person and threatening a person. You're going to lose your job if you don't do this or something, whatever kind of threat a person might use. And under that threat, then you pay him at full market value, then Tayu Vazavin, Agav Unsa, Vazuze, together with the Ones, the Kurishin, Vazuzi, and the fair payment for it, Gomra Makti, then he's not giving it to you. So when he says, Rotsani, he says, fine, I'm asking him under duress, I'm not happy about it, but since you're forcing me to do it, I'm not giving you a choice, and you're paying market value, I say, Rotsani, fine, I'm asking him, take it, because it's a hate. Without giving any brachas, fine, take it, be done with it, be off with you already. So then that's a valid mechira. And afterwards, once he has it, it's not geneva biyado, he doesn't have to make any yeshava on it. We'll talk in a moment about biyover lo sachbo lo sazava. That's what he says, right, sani. And there's a ines and a proper payment. If it's not proper payment, tell you over yahiv, I force you to give something away for free, that's outright gzela.
If he says
that's right. When you say rotsani, then it's valid. Oh, until you over yahiv, right? Until you over yahiv, even with that's just under the onus, under the duress. I have to say rotsani because otherwise you're going to keep on beating me. So I said, fine, I'm asking out. I don't want any more outs. So under the torture, so I finally say, okay, you could have it, but there's no rotsan there. There's only rotsan because listen, I am getting paid for it. So in the end, I'm not really losing anything. So although I would rather not sell it, but under the pressure, I'll give up what I'd rather. But I'm at least getting by my fair payment. But if I'm not getting fair payment, then it's just purely because of the pressure. There's no rutzon there at all. If he's Meister Modah, which means that before this, he goes to Tuedim and he says, I know this guy's going to be forcing me. I have no way out because he has something over me. And I want to tell you, even though I'm going to say Rotsani, I don't mean it. So that cancels out the Rotsani. It cancels out our assumption that under the duress and being paid properly that Yitaka really are masking to it, and therefore it validates the Mechira. Now we know that I have no Rotsan for it whatsoever. I'm just purely being forced. Then becomes the equivalent of the case of not getting paid, of having just giving it away, even though I say Rotsani under duress, because I don't want to be tortured anymore, or whatever the threat is, then that's Exela. That's the Ram goes on Hilchos Mechira. Now comes the final two lavim, which really Chumas falls under, is Lo Sachmoin and Lo Sasava, the tenth of the Aseres Adibreis, expressed differently in Yisro and in Vayaschanan. Right, in the Dibros Rishonos in Yisro it says Lo Sachmoin, and in Dibros Achrayinus it says in Vayaschanan Lo Sasava, even though they're both the Aseres Adibreis. The Seres Adibros, the Rambam counts, I think, about 18 mitzvah or 22 mitzvah, I forgot exactly how many mitzvahs there are in the Seres Adibros. In the Lo Sasava and Lo Sachmoid, the Rambam counts as two separate of the Tariag, and the Sefer Chinuch, and the other Rishonim, counts as two separate of the Tariag mitzvahs, two separate Lo Sasays of the Shin Samoche, Lo Sasays of the Torah. What is the Lav of Lo Sachmoid? What is the Lav of Lo Sasava? First, what is the Lav of Lo Sachmoid? The Rambam defines in the second sheet, the last two paragraphs. Ramam Hilchus Mechira Hilchus Gzela. Kolo Chaymeit, Avdo, Omoso, Obeso, Vakelo, Shechaveroi. A person that has a desire for items belonging to his friend. O Kol Dover, Shevshelo, Sheikdim, Mimenu. Or any other thing that is possible for me to take for him. In other words, something I can't take for him, there's no way to have a Chemda for. I could be envious and jealous that you're such a handsome person, that you're such a smart person, you have such a family, that, that you have so much talents. Those things I can't take from you. And therefore, jealousy is not a good midah, and it's a lack of understanding of Ashkacha and Amunah and Bitachon, but there's no a madrega of Gzela that's involved. I can't steal those things from you. Well, Kol Dover She'evshi Yagneya Mimenu, something that's possible for him to give to me and that for me to acquire from him. And I now have a chemda, step one, I have a desire to get it. And I don't just keep that desire as an envy and jealousy in my heart. But I take steps to pressure him and get him to finally be willing to give it to me, even though he doesn't want to. The hichbar alav bereim, and I pressure him with tactics, with people speaking to him, and one after the other keep on speaking to him. They everyone, but come on, you got to sell it to him. The other person really needs it so much. You come on, and day after day, person as a person speaking to him until finally under the pressure, he finally caves in and gives it to me. The hipster bow, you pressure him. Until finally he gives it to you. Some poskim say that even if you come and offer him a price that he can't resist, you're living in your home. You want to sell your home? No. How much is your home worth now? Let's say it's $100,000. I'll give you $100,000 for your house. No, I want my house. I'll give you $110,000. No, I want my house. I'll give you $300,000 for it. Well, there's a certain point, I'll give you $500,000 for it. There's a certain point that no one in the right mind is going to be able to resist, and they really don't want to sell that house. But at that kind of price, what can I do? The guy, you know, is coming in, and that's a way of also pressuring your person. Even though the guy can say no, it's not b'chazaka. But hifzer by achalacha b'yamenu, av b'shinasen damim rabim, even though you paid him and overpaid him. It doesn't say before, like there beforehand, by the Chamsa, he says, Nasan Damim, Ha Damim, it's proper value, the right payment. Here, Nasan Damim, Rabbi, I even overpaid you, lavishly, extra, right? Hareza Oiver below Sasation and below Sachbait. Zokta Ravid, Ahasad is Ravid, Amar Avram, Vulay Amar Raitzani. The Ravid holds that if you said Raitzani, it's a good Mecher. If it's a good Mecher, because you paid him the money, and he said Rotzani, and you pressured him, which makes it equivalent of a Oinus. So then once he says Rotzani, then it's a good Mecher. And if the Hifzer bow is less than an Oinus, then Kalshikin is a good Mecher. If it's a good Mecher, it's Nishkin Gzela. If it's Nishkin Gzela, so what kind of Losakwa is it? That's the sheet of the Ravid. Ramam holds that even though you're not over on Losigzel, and the Mecher is a valid Mecher, because he said Rotzani, but you're still over Lo Sachmait. Because Lo Sachmait is the Avera of making the Hishtalis to go and get it from him when he doesn't want to give it to you. He didn't really want to give it to you. He didn't want to sell it at all. But you pressured him and got so many people speaking to him and he gave us whatever other way you bring pressure to him. Until finally he caved in and he sold it to you against his real will. And he said, Rotzani, and he took the money, and it's a good Mecher. And even though it's a valid Mecher, but you're over on the Isser of getting him to give it to you when he really didn't want to do so.
Mass overpayment, even though the guy took it and he's happy as could be?
He's happy as could be to get so much money he was never expected to get, but he doesn't have a house to live in. Now he could buy three houses to live in, right? But that's not my house. You know what? This is my house. There's a chayin isha abalo, there's a chayin bias al dairav an ear. This is mine. I grew up over here. I raised my children over here. I wasn't interested in selling it. So you forced me, pressured me to do it, even by, you know, tantalizing me with some kind of great offer. It's still a pressure. The Rama doesn't say that case. Other poskim do. The ain lokin alav zeh, the Rama goes on and says, Nesh ain bo maisa. This is a lav she ain bo maisa. He didn't do any action to be over on this lav. The ain over lav zeh, achi yigal chevas shechamad. And only if he actually does carry through and actually do it, accomplish it is when he's over lav. Shnei lo sachbo kasev zav aleihem v'lo kach telach chimut sheish b'maisa zok deraved zok gazav amar avram lo reisi davar tamua gadol kazeh. Never saw such a pala de gazach. How can you Rambam say that there's no lav because it's ein b'maisa and lo kadol lav zav nei shem b'maisa heichad maisa gadol natilas chayfetz? You took your guy's chayfetz away from him. Right? Tell me it's wrong, but tell me it's no Maisa. It's a Maisa Gezel. It's a Maisa Gadol. Eilach a Maisa Gadol Mizeh. How could the Rambam say it's Lav Sheim a Maisa? What's put on the Rambam? So Magen Mishnah says, because the Rive is Lashitasai, the Rambam is Lashitasai. The Rive is Lashitasai that holds that the Lav of Los Sachmas Dafko, you didn't say right, Sonny. The Hain of the Lav is that you actually took something that's not yours. He never was maskim to give it to you. You're a gazlan. So when you take it, you're over a lav. You're a gazlan, right? It's a gazlan with payment. That's why not a give us. You have to have a new lav called losachmait. And that's what we talked about chamas before him. We're looking what does chamas for all fall under? According to Ravid, it's a gezel with tashlumim, but it's still gezel. But the maisa gezel is, the maisa aveira is the taking of it, the gzela of it. But according to the Rama Lishik Dasa, he says that you're over on losachmait. Even the guy did say rotzani. So when he says Rotan and he gives it to you, it's a good becher. So there's nothing wrong taking it at that point. So what was wrong? Wrong was pressuring him into it. The hishtalus, the pressure, the hivtzer b'chaveir, of hichbar love, you know, all the pressure tactics that you brought up. That was Eva Maisa. That was just a Dira Biyama. You spoke to him and you nudged him and you nudged him and you drove him crazy. That's Lav Sheva Maisa. The Maisa Lekicha at the end, he did a Baratzai. It's valid Mecher. That's not the no gezel on that. The Lav of it is the Havtzara, is the Deichik, is the Lachatz, is the pressuring that you're putting on upon him. On the Tanai that actually comes to fruition. But the act of the fruition was really not the Maisa Issa, the Issa is the Ishtalos. And therefore, on my front sheet, I wrote over here, the lab of losachmoit is hamarchik b'cheirim, pressuring another person. L'agorosh l'pesach we have coming up, the lachatz is hadchak, say halachatz. Hamarchik b'cheirim, achinos l'mamonu afilo b'mechira, but the lab is the marchik of it. The act of pressuring him and nudging him and driving him crazy until finally he gives it in, the marchik of it is the yisur. That's how the Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam. What's Los Asava, just to finish this unit? Los Asava, Divers Achrainis, the Rambam says in the bottom piece of the Rambam, Halacha Yud, is that you must Asava to get something of his base, so Ishtav, Kelev, Cheshachavir, Kyotzvim, Dvarim, Shev, Shalol, Lekachad, Kyotzvim, again, things that you can actually accomplish. And you didn't actually yet start pressuring him. He didn't yet actually go and sell it to you. But Kevin, Shechosha, Belibo, Hech, Yikna, Darvah, Zeh. Once already start making practical plans, I make a decision, I'm determined, I'm going to do this, I'm going to carry out these kind of schemes that I have. From the point that I have an envy, it's a chasaron and emunah bitachin, but I'm not over a lava yet. When I start saying, you know what, I'm going to scheme now and plan and figure out how I'm going to get him to, he's going to have to give it to me, get him in a position, some kind of maneuver that he's going to have to. So once I start playing that out, I'm over Los Asave. When I actually now go and pressure him in until finally I accomplish my goal that he gives to me, I'm over now on Los Achbite. And if I don't, that's if I do pay him, and I'm a Chamsa. And if I don't pay him, I'm over Los Igzal too. And that's the conclusion of the Rambam. Halam Lanato Shem Basava over Bulav Echad, Ba'akoyna Dover Shem Basava, Behefzer, Behefzer, Behailov, Obekashu Behen, Oiver Belev Shnei Lavim, and im gazu ben over b'shleish shlosh lavim, those are each of these lavim that we have over here. And therefore, on Los Asave, on the front page, I filled in the blank to say, what is the lav? Hachlata, the decision, the determination, lehanchik ba'achayim, that I'm going to pressure other people, ajid lo mamonu afilu mechira, even if it's mechira, and according to Ram means, even a valid mechira, even though he says, rozo ne'in yamashalim domov and domov harbe, if you'll yosem domov, even if it's mechira, the hachlata to be marchik is over Los Asave. And the marchik achiyidnu lai, achinosim lai, is over on Los Asave. Those are each of these lavim that every Erlach Yid has to be aware of, not to be deserved to do these messages. Now, I should pray for myself.